Welcome, Church Unlimited. I'm so excited to have a guest with us today. This interview, I think you're going to find very powerful, compelling, and practical at the same time. So I'm introducing you today, Dr. Janice Smith. She is a sex therapist as well as a pastor's wife. Janice, it's great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're glad you're here all the way from Orlando, Florida.
Yes.
So we've known your family for quite some time, Janice. And so you recently wrote a book and I devoured it. It was so powerful. I couldn't put it down.
Thank you.
And it's not the kind of book I normally would read, but the way you interweaved clinical therapy with your story was so powerfully and well done. And I think so many people are going to resonate with what you've gone through. So tell me, how did you become a sex therapist?
Well, first of all, thank you. That means a lot to me because I felt it was needful to not just apply the scripture. People sometimes don't understand that application of especially topics such as sex. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I decided to become a sex therapist so that I could understand myself, in all honesty, understand my upbringing, and then also be able to help families, because I discovered people that I counseled, although I had a degree in counseling, it ended up being about their sex life. Mm-hmm. Any couple that I met with, it wasn't money, as they always say, or the kids. It ended up being about their intimacy. So I really felt the need to get some certification, some education about it, which I learned a lot, and I'm thankful that I did.
So tell us about your upbringing a little bit. I don't want to spoil the book here, but just if you could just give us some indication.
So my home was very dysfunctional. It was from the beginning. But when I was almost four, my dad came and took me out of my bed and began sexually abusing me. And it lasted until I was 16 years old. And at 16, I had never told anyone about my situation, because when I was six and I was going to, my dad pulled a gun out of the drawer and put it up to my head and said, "I'll kill you if you ever tell anybody, and I'll kill your mother." Mm-hmm. And I mean, that pretty much sealed the deal for me. And so we lived with that secret for all those years.
Wow.
And I just remember the last day he just said, "Get in here." And I don't know why I got the courage, but I said, "No."
Yeah.
And he said, "Don't you tell me no." I said, "I'll kill you." And I said, "You know what? You already killed me."
Oh.
And I got on a train and went to Alabama, and I never came home.
Oh. Wow. Well, we definitely want to unpack that some more later. Yes. With another question about people who have had a similar situation. Mm-hmm. Like yours. Mm-hmm. But before we get to that, I wanted to ask you what advice you would have for couples that are going through major transitions in life. Let's say when they start to have a baby, you know, those months where there's a new baby in the home, and obviously sex is not the top priority for the woman at that moment. She's trying to keep a baby alive, you know, and then the man is in the wings like, "Hey, remember me?" You know?
That's true.
Or when there's health issues involved.
Yes.
Going through cancer or all kinds of illnesses.
Or just aging.
And then aging, yeah.
Absolutely.
How do you transition and keep your sex life vibrant and alive when you're aging and getting older? So I know that's a loaded question, so we'll probably take some time to unpack all this.
Yeah.
So let's start with the parenthood.
So if you don't begin your marriage with each one being the priority, mm-hmm. then you're going to have difficulties, because oftentimes you don't make each other first. Just like we say, Jesus first, Jesus always. Well, when you make that commitment and you become one, you will not be one when you have that. That won't change when you have your children.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You'll still be one. You got to keep that the first most important thing in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, then when your children come, then you're going to think, "Oh, well, this is my world."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to omit that intimacy that brought you to that place,
right.
That brought that child
into
the world. So you have to talk about those things. I think during pregnancy is a good time to get all the ducks in a row. Here's what we can expect. Here's what's going to be coming down the pike. Let's be patient with each other. Let's respect each other during this. Let's work together and make it rewarding for your husband, and let them know this is going to be a time that we share. This is the expression of the love that we have had together. And then as that baby comes, there's the babies sleep a lot, you know, so babies sleep a lot. Take advantage of those.
So what would you say to a couple who's like, are we normal? You know, what's a normal amount of time for a healthy couple to have sex?
Really, research shows 2 or 3 times a week. But also, did you know a man's prostate is flushed every time he has an orgasm, every time he has an experience? So we used to have a joke like, hey, honey, my prostate needs flushing. just make a fun thing out of it, you know, like
right.
Set a time. I think prioritize that you're going to be together if you both have busy schedules, if you have children. I mean, almost everyone has date night, I hope. Mm-hmm. So date night should definitely be on the priority list of not only where are we going to go for dinner, what movie are we going to see, but tonight let's make this very interesting. Let's make this very special together.
Men want to feel like they still have it, you know,
right.
That their wives still like desire them and that kind of thing. What would you say to a wife that they could do to help with something like that?
Because I think the wife is the first person that can cut that idea down.
Yeah.
And she knows it. And
yeah.
She knows that she has that ability to control it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that it's in her court. So respond to that however you want to, whether it's an emoji on your phone, which I thought was cute.
The emojis are fun because you can, when you send that emoji to your husband that's kind of flirty and sexy, they know like, oh, she's going to be ready tonight. She's in the mood. She's flirting with me. You're kind of setting the table, setting the expectation.
Women might need some other words of encouragement and affirmation, but men like to know that we believe in them, that they are the man in our life.
Yes, king.
They are. Mm-hmm. Our prince. Yeah. That they are that person in our life.
Janice, you deal with all kinds of people all the time. And I know something that's becoming more and more common today is infidelity. What would you tell a couple who's trying to re-engage? Like, let's say, you know, one or the other is cheated. And, you know, so you've got the offended one. You've got the cheater who feels
the
probably
offender.
Terrible, right? The
right.
offender.
Mm-hmm.
And but they've decided to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
How do they re-engage sexually? Like, what would your recommendation be to them?
Kudos to the person that wants to work through it.
Yeah.
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 You don't
yeah.
see that a lot. And
yeah.
I was telling you last night that during COVID, lots of affairs happen, lots of things happen, lots of divorces over in Florida. I don't know if it was everywhere, but so for the person that has been the offender and the one offended, if they decide they're going to work it out, here my first suggestion is cut that all ties. Cut all ties to that affair. Delete that person from your social media. Take their number off your phone, because a lot of times if they've had that tie, remember, sexually you mingle your bodily fluids with another person when you have sex with another person. So outside of marriage, you can't unmingle that.
Yeah.
That's done. You have done that. And so for that person, when they make that decision, get rid of that person that you were with. You can't secretly call, I'm checking on how you're doing. Listen, I know all the ways that people approach that. But then ask forgiveness for your spouse that you have offended. Ask them to forgive you and ask God to forgive you. And then if you decide you're going to work through that together, I would suggest counseling.
Yeah.
You can't work through these kind of things in life. A counselor is going to know the steps to tell you to prevent that from happening again. And then another important thing is the offended person has to let it go after they ask God to forgive. They can't hold that over the offender's life forever and bring it up when conversations come up, because you got to decide we're going to move on.
Yeah.
But what would you clinically advise, would you give them clinical for their sex life to move on sexually?
To move slowly and, you know, move slowly. You're not obliged to tell, here's what we did and here's where we did it and here's how we did it and here's what I said and here's what they said. That's not going to help anything. That's only going to, it's going to be branded in your mind, and you're going to think about that every time you ever try to be intimate in the future. If you're going to forgive, let's forgive the way God forgives. Just forgive and then move on. The slate is clean. Let's start over with some, maybe putting some little things in place that we didn't have, some safeguards in place that, for instance, like not finding yourself in another, in a room with a person of the opposite sex. Exactly.
So you're suggesting that even when this one spouse says, I want to know everything you ever did, that you're saying, no, that's not wise.
Right. No.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, every person's different.
Okay.
But I know that.
I know when, this is a common thing.
When we married, now my husband had been around the block. He had had sex with a lot of people during those drug years in the 60s. And at first,
he was a rock star. Literally.
He was.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know what he did with those women. I don't know why I wanted to. Looking back, I regret that. But he did tell me one thing. And I said, don't ever tell me anything else again, because I could never forget that, you know. So.
Gotcha. What would you say, Janice, to someone who has been through sexual trauma and now they're trying to have just a normal functioning sex life with their spouse, whether male or female, if they've gone through something like that? How'd you process that? And what would you tell them are the steps to process that to be able to still give yourself to your spouse?
Well, my husband was right on that, because he didn't know that it was a sexual abuse for quite a few years into our marriage.
Okay.
And so then when I did tell him that, that's when I went into this deep depression. You'd think getting that out would have just made everything great, but it actually intensified, because all those years before, I had been really acting as if all this was great and intimacy was great, when in the back of my mind, it was a remembrance of all the inappropriate ways my father dealt with me sexually. And I wouldn't tell my husband that. So when it all came together, we didn't do what you should have done. You should understand what sexual abuse is. It's any type of touching, assault, sexual inappropriateness with someone that is not in consent. That's what it is. So you have to define it and understand it. But there's good news, because a survey was done with women that were brought in under sexual abuse situations. The authorities came and they brought a social worker, and the social worker became involved with those women. And every 2 weeks, she would discuss how they felt at that time. And after 2 weeks, they felt depressed, angry, post-traumatic stress, anxiety. But over time, every 2 weeks, she would touch base with them. And 90% of them said that over time, they got over it. They got through it. So time is a great tool in our lives for anything, for those that have committed adultery, those that have tainted the marriage in some way, those that have revealed some other sexual attraction they have that their spouse doesn't know about. All of these things can be healed and can move on through time. Time is a great healer.
But in the meantime, let's say you're young, you know, I can imagine like a young couple in the audience right now, a young man or young woman being like, well, but what about, you know, now? Like, I don't want to wait 10 or 12 years or however long. Like,
explore one another's sexual desires, because for instance, one of the spouses may have come from a real strict religious family that made sex seem dirty or evil, or it's your job, or, you know, all the connotations that can go with that. Whereas the other spouse may have come from a family with no boundaries, with no limits. They were out of the box and everything was good. So I think they have to have conversation. It's a key to a good marriage is conversation. Talk about it. I know it's difficult for some people to say, here is what I'm pleased with sexually. Mm-hmm. So for the young couples, just take in that dive. Just dive in and have the conversation and say, here's what I prefer. And if it's not something the spouse prefers, they need to talk about it and come to agreements. But sexually, the conversation has to be, what do you prefer? Mm-hmm. And if something is not something that you are willing to have, then you need to say, I don't particularly like that, and it takes away from me. Mm-hmm. Come to some agreement on it.
Mm-hmm. Clinically, some practices you would tell someone to say, okay, I want y'all to go home and do this and practice doing this clinically.
That's a good question. And Masters and Johnson's actually back in the 60s came up with a therapy for people that were having difficulties. Now, this was even for couples that had people that were wheelchair-bound or people that were incapacitated some way. I mean, severe. If I told you all the things, it would be incredible. People that couldn't even perform sexually themselves, how to come together to have that sexual experience. And so it's called Sensate Focus.
Okay.
Sensate focus, which is using all of your senses, the sight, the hearing, the smell, the touch. And so the couple, partially clothed or fully clothed, would take a session each on different nights, no performance expected, no sexual performance expected. In fact, you ignore the genitalia all together, and you just explore that person. You explore from head to toe. You explore them, and then at the end, you have a conversation of, "I was very stimulated by when you touch my shoulder," or you find out what part of you is sensitive that you are not aware of when you're having a sexual experience, because you're all focused on that performance. Mm-hmm. And so many people get focused on that performance. Mm-hmm. So you take that away, and it really is amazing how it helped men, particularly that have erectile dysfunction or anxiety about performance. So when that was taken away, lo and behold, they were able to have a more fulfilling sexual intimate experience together.
So how often would they take turns? Like, is this a month, 2 months? Or is it you're like, well, whenever the spouse feels comfortable, then you can say, okay, now we're going to have the act of sex. And
okay,
we can stop exploring and touching. When do you decide that part is ready?
If they're actually in therapy, that would actually be a homework assignment. And so they would come back the next week. And then they describe to the therapist, they talk to each other and describe all the sensations, what was sensual mm-hmm. to them, how they enjoyed that, or they didn't prefer that, you
right.
know, like my husband, I'll use him as an example. He doesn't like it if anybody touches him on the neck. He doesn't like that. So I figured that out. So guess who's not touching him
right.
on the neck,
yeah.
right? So then they would talk to the therapist, and then she would give them the next phase of therapy would be, okay, this time, how about with your clothes off? And then finally, it's engage in your intimacy and see if it makes a difference. And it did.
Because what if after three times, the wife or the husband's like, I still want to keep doing this.
No,
I'm
they
not
can.
Feeling ready
that,
yet.
That's between the couple. Again, the therapist, if you came in and you guys were the couple and you said, well, I don't think that's been enough, then she would say, well, just continue as you are. Mm-hmm. And then just next week we'll discuss, maybe we'll add something else to it. So if you're not feeling fulfilled in that, or you still are wanting to explore, then the therapist adds something more to it.
What's the something more?
Yeah. Well, the something more could be, now you pair that with your verbalization as you are exploring one another. And then you allow that person to respond back, because remember, if it's your session to explore your husband, he is not supposed to be communicative. He just allows you to just explore and just to enjoy that moment, see what is special to you, see what's special to him, but you don't talk to each other till you go in for the therapy.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Huh.
That's a fun discovery time in
the
therapy.
But if you're not in therapy, you just talk amongst yourselves.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's really helpful. That's
mm-hmm.
a really specific helpful
Give some people
tool.
Something to do, too. A lot of people want to add things. They want new flavors. They, you know, they don't always want to just use salt and pepper. They want some spice. They want some heat mm-hmm. in their relationships. And just, they can be creative themselves, but sometimes a therapist can step in and give you ideas you might not have had before. Mm-hmm. Keeping passion alive, even though, you know, we're clean. You know, we haven't committed adultery. We haven't been
yep.
abused. We're free to express ourselves. To me, that couple should have the best mm-hmm. life, because they're not having to mm-hmm. like, well, I got to get over this
yeah.
and then
yeah.
maybe I'll have a good life. Maybe I can be expressive. They don't have anything to hold them back. So they should just make it a fun life. Celebrate mm-hmm. that they both do not have this history. Exactly. Celebrate that you don't have that baggage.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yes, and just see it as wonderful and enjoy one another completely. Good. That's who we are. We're creatures. God's the creator. So we just submit ourselves to him and all of our faults. We all have other faults. We might not have done those things, but all of us sin and come short of God's glory in many areas of our life. I just always want to be pliable and vulnerable and his presence.
I have some friends that have been divorced and they're like, can you squeeze us in? Y'all are always talking about married people and single people, but what about the people that have been divorced? And we always hear Pastor Bill say, you need to wait for marriage. And they're like, we've already had sex in our marriage previously.
They and that's kind of blow that off. Like, oh, well, that doesn't count for me now.
Right.
And
but it does. Again, it goes back to your breaking the law of God. I mean, and a lot of people don't like to talk about that, but it's very essential that, you know, if you are divorced, you should wait until you find the other person. You can't just go out
it's
and say, I've already done this before, so what's it gonna hurt? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to get worse doing that. Oh, my goodness. Better.
There is something down the road. God's always got something better for us our life. Whatever season we're in, there's something better coming if we just all believe that, no matter where you are in life.
It's good.
I have one last question I just want to dig into, something you said earlier. Speaking of our culture, there's this toxic masculinity that people talk about that can go really far, like really, really far. With sometimes these guys like Andrew Tate and stuff, how they view women.
Uh-huh.
And when I mentioned that verse in the Bible, you know, where some men would say, well, it's my body. God made your body for me. It's not your body. And quote the verse. And you say, well, I want to talk to that guy. That's interesting. What would you say to that guy? I was just curious.
I would say that our maleness is to be a covering and a head over the wife and to protect and shield her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the I control her and her body is my body. It's he is there to protect her and to love her, to honor her. That's why the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, because that's not the natural nature. It's more to lord over. And then on the other hand, consequently, it says women respect your husbands because we see them and we're with them and we know this guy, we know all of his problems, but God says respect them. So to that person, I would say, where do you see yourself as a husband? That the woman is an object. Mm-hmm. She is just your sex toy. She's just there to fulfill you. Mm-hmm. What about you? You're to give yourself to her. The husband is to give himself, love your wife the way Christ loved the church. I mean, that is an uncomfortable thing, but that's what the word says. So he would never say, that's mine and I'm taking it and I'm going to use it for what I want it for. It's a mutual. We're one. We're enmeshed. That's what being intimate is. I know you've heard that worn out, into me see. Mm-hmm. That's a good definition of that.
It's good. James, thank you so much. It's been such a great conversation we've had,
and it's great.
And you're such a blessing, you and your husband both. And the you know, we didn't mention earlier, but these guys are very successful, started an amazing church in Orlando, started university as well.
Yes.
And I mean, you and your husband both have more degrees than a thermometer. I mean, it's like, and your son and daughter, we love them to death. They're such
they're
great
amazing
people. And so, and by the way, just want to mention a couple things. First of all, your book, it's really great. It's called Broken Child, Broken Girl, Broken Woman by Janice Smith. I want to encourage our people to get a hold of this. It's a great read. I could not put it down, honestly. Cover to cover,
read
the whole thing. It was so powerful. And then your son made a movie about you and your husband and your life. Your life story is called Southern Gospel. You can get this on Amazon Prime right now.
A good love story.
And so it's a beautiful story, beautiful love story, beautiful story of redemption.
It is.
And I was really moved watching it. And so just thank you for your time, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Well, Church Unlimited, it's an honor to have you here. And I pray that this is always a church where we can have honest conversations about what's really going on in our lives, our sex lives, our marriages, our relationships. And so, but you know what we talked about at the beginning of this whole series, it all comes down to a Christian relationship, or where two people are surrendered to Christ. And so, and then once they're surrendered to Christ, they surrender to one another. And so I just want to ask you, have you surrendered your life to Christ? You can do so right now by praying a very simple prayer across all of our campuses, those watching online. You can pray this prayer with me right now. You can just say, "Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me." Every head bowed, every eye closed. We just gave your life to Christ. No one's looking around. Would you just lift your hand high right now if you just gave your life to Christ? Thank you. We see your hands all across our campuses. Just hold your hand high. Thank you, Rockport Fulton. Thank you, Portland. Thank you, Padre Island. Hold your hand high. Thank you, Stone Oak. Thank you, Rodfield. Right here at the broadcast, just hold your hand up. You just gave your life to Christ. If you're watching online, you can let us know in the text chat. Just text "my hand's raised" or click "hand raised." We're so thankful for the decision you made to give your life to Christ. Father, thank you for the powerful testimony that with whatever we've gone through, Lord, you can free us from the shackles of the pain and the shame. God, you renew us. Thank you for that. God, I thank you for these marriages today that are being renewed. I thank for the person who felt trapped in their abuse, God, that they could be set free, Lord, that they have a great future, Lord. Yes. Thank you for just the incredible testimony of Janice, her life story, her marriage and her kids and grandchildren. Lord, thank you for the blessing that she is to so many. Lord, thank you, God, that you want our story, even in our brokenness, to end up with a beautiful story of redemption. We thank you, God, that you take us and you renew us. You love us enough not to leave us where we're at, but to make us new. Thank you for this time. In your name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.